All right, good morning, everyone. It's about 10:35 a.m. on September 27, 2010. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission meeting in a work session on case numbers PU09676 and PU09678. That is the Advanced Determination of Prudence and the CapEx 2020 applications of Otter Tail Power and XL Energy. And we've now had our second hearing. I thought a very informative and very good informal hearing on the settlement agreement, and a new proposed settlement agreement was presented at that hearing last week, and this is our work session in hopes that we can give staff some final direction, I suspect. This is Kevin Kramer along with Tony Clark and Brian Kalk at the work session. Of course, the work session is our opportunity to visit among ourselves and with our advisors and provide some direction for perhaps a final order. Also joining us are Patrick Fahn, the lead analyst on this particular case, and Mitch Armstrong, our legal counsel. So with that, any opening comments from my colleagues?
Nope.
We'll turn, Tony, any thoughts since your portfolio up front? And
well, I guess I'd be interested in hearing from staff or from Mitch if you have any thoughts coming out of the hearing. I thought it was a good one and helped answer a lot of the questions that I had. But I don't know if in the since we've had it, if there are other questions that have run through your heads.
Commissioner Clark, not particularly. We did review the new settlement agreement for, I guess, the commission's purposes prior to the hearing. I think we've got most of our questions at least addressed with language issues there. We were provided with a copy of the ownership agreement, and I've had a chance to review that agreement and see what types of penalties there are and ways out of the agreement and things of that nature. So I've got my legal questions answered, I guess, on the settlement agreement and on the ownership agreement.
Okay. Pat?
I guess the questions that were remaining, I think, were more on the legal side of it. And Mitch has been, we've been going through that. Mitch has been doing a lot of reading on that, and he's given his report to you now.
Okay. Is that little sticker on there, does that mean that's a bad one?
That's the bad one? Is that what that means?
Maybe we should move
Scott,
this.
Scott, we're talking about the microphone.
What's that? One and two. Yeah, I've got mic number two, but it doesn't have a sticker on it. Maybe, what is this, one? That's five.
Oh, okay.
It's a smiley sticker, which to me would mean like it's a good one. But
yeah.
Literally, it's a smiley.
The poison sticker, it'd be another. Okay.
Like a Mr. Yuck sticker.
I have a question, Mitch, and I think Brian maybe had raised this, the issue of the May versus
that was exactly where I was going.
What I'm wondering is, because I want real clarity on that question, because you first raised the point with us, while there's a may and there's a shall, and they mean two different things in terms of our level of discretion, my question is, how much discretion do you really have once you've gone to hearing, once you have a case, and there's the preponderance of evidence sort of standard, does that change the discretion at all in the may and shall question?
Well, I don't think it changes the discretion. I mean, I don't think there, as I read the statute, I don't think this commission is absolutely required to grant ADP. However, I think if there's not, there has to be at least a decent reason for it. I mean, it can't just be on a whim. But may and shall, from a legal perspective, are important terms of art in statutes that, either provide you discretion or make you do something. May allows you some discretion, and shall says you have to do this if, X, Y, and Z.
So a rejection of ADP or declining of the ADP does require, some rationale built in the record.
Is it rational? Yeah, and that's the question. Is it rationale built in the record related to the specific case, or is it more policy discretion? Because, honestly, from a factual standpoint, to me, the burden has been met. It's a needed project. It's a reliability project. The only concern, that I've heard expressed, and I don't know if this is technically quote unquote in the record or not, it's a policy question about ADP itself, whether it's a good thing.
Well,
is good, and I don't know that that's
the question that has been asked by probably all three of us different times. Is, had they been able to fully document the benefit to consumers, you've asked that question, we've all asked that question, and nobody's shown us how this benefits the consumers by us granting ADP. We've heard how it helps them, we've heard how it helps them get money, but we haven't heard this actually saves the customers money. That would be the one question that I say, that depending where I end up at.
But that's a question about the law itself. I mean, right. Whether the law itself is
because it, during the law
is setup. Beneficial.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So we're saying the same thing.
Right.
And to, I guess, broadly answer your question, you know, the policy, I guess, is, you know, declared by the legislature, and they give you direction under the laws of, you know, making a decision under that policy, but the legislature has also provided you with discretion to evaluate these and make a determination. So, I mean, there's a mix of both. Policy always, you know, gets applied, I guess, to the underlying record, and, you know, you can consider policy and you can consider the record, you know, together. I'm just trying to think of an example to use for you because there are, you know, we have to make this decision off of the record we have before us. We can't, you know, go outside that record.
Right. Well, I mean, going along Brian's line of thinking, is it the only way that you could correct the particular deficiency that he's identified is you'd have to have some company witness say on the stand, look, we've gone to the capital markets and they've told us that if you pass this ADP, we're going to get 50 basis points knocked off the construction costs.
You know, and I guess, of course, the other way to get some of that in the record would be if there was an intervener or, you know, somebody on behalf of, well, I guess we have advocacy staff, you know, who does represent the public in this case, and, you know, they've, I guess, you know, made their negotiation and their position clear, I guess, on the settlement agreement by entering into it with the company.
Yeah. I understand the desire to go down that route, and I think in some other cases I might even be inclined to pursue that a little bit. For example, with generation cases, I think that may make some more sense because you're choosing between various
yes.
alternatives, right? I mean, you've got, well, we could do it with a gas-wind combination. We could do it with coal. We could. If you're filling a resource need and you're picking amongst a number of options that you're going to choose that to fulfill it. And I think, you know, you might be able to build that case where, okay, when you're doing this, you need to be able to specifically identify for us what the savings are. Here, it's a different case. There's a need for transmission. It's a reliability-based need, so it's not even to meet, you know, increased generation or increased demand. I mean, it's literally a reliability issue with the existing system. And there's no other way to meet it other than transmission. I mean, it's not like you're choosing between
right.
transmission or, I mean, I guess somebody could make a theoretical case for small distributed,
right.
you know, lots of small. But, I mean, that's, like, not even really within the realm of possibility. So it's not like we're choosing between a number of options. It's literally you either build the transmission that the people who operate the grid say you need or you don't. And to me, they've met that standard. It's unfortunate that we're, you know, deciding this in the case of in the wake of Big Stone, but we can't let sort of all the things that went wrong with Big Stone impact the fact that this is still probably, in my mind, it's transmission lines that are needed. But I mean, I agree with you on a case where the commission has more discretion to choose between a number of different options that are in front of a utility company. I don't know. I think that might be a pretty good standard to apply. So you need to identify specifically if we're granting this, why, you know, what the dollar value is, and if you can't do that, what's the point? It's just to me, this might be the worst kind of case to try to apply that standard to.
Okay.
So anyway, there's my bias. It's on the table.
Brian, anything different or?
No, I don't have much else to add other than that. I think it's just a function we have to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the burden's been met as with the law as it stands, and I think that I think Tony's point is right on point. It's that it
becomes clear when he lays it out with different generation types, and you can compare and contrast with this. There's not much to compare and contrast.
Well, there's just so much more uncertainty with generation.
Yep.
because there's different ways you can meet it. There's just with transmission related to reliability, there's not that discretion there. It's the power line goes down because of an ice storm, and you've hit an N1 contingency, and now you're shedding load.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, this question, which is not related to this decision, but when you potentially grant ADP on something, then we go out and hold the hearings. The public says, well, they've already said this is a good project, so this is coming our way, and that's just the way it is.
You mean like a siting?
Yeah, exactly, because we go out and hold sitings, and we've already said this is a good project. Now, I understand that it can go in different places, but back to the law debate, the policy debate, that the commission has already said it's a prudent project. You go into County X, and you take testimony. I mean, it's a setup that...
It's probably okay in North Dakota, though, because as our lawyers have often drilled into our heads, siting cases are not need cases, right? So, I mean, this is the need case,
yep.
Or at least it's pretty closely tied to it. It's not a CPCN either, but, I mean, it's related to need. But that and siting are two different things. I mean, siting's purely a function of, the environmental standards that has to do with the actual physical location of it.
You get my point, though. The commission said this is a...
And you said something's going to be done.
You mean it can be discouraging to landowners or some entity that might oppose a particular location,
sure,
because it gives the impression, because we've already signed off on it.
And companies may exploit that.
Sure, and they may, and they probably should try, but I wouldn't advise it to any company that would think that would be some sort of a leverage that they could use with this commission, I don't think. In fact, you know, I mean, I know early in this case we had an intervener that eventually dropped out because their main interest was siting. I think it's unfortunate that they dropped out because I think leverage is positioning, and positioning may or may not be directly related to a particular situation, a particular case, or whatever. But I think that's an example of sort of what you're getting to is public confidence,
in what we do.
But it is, nonetheless, we've signed up for the jobs.
Well, and I guess I'll just throw it out there like I always do. I mean, I don't particularly have a problem with the settlement agreement the way it is now. But I do have a problem with the law. And so the next session, I'll be the one proponent saying that I think we should repeal the law. Because of, I think Tony's point is right on, that generation is different than transmission. But I think that we've got a worthwhile record that I could feel comfortable signing off on this settlement agreement. But I tell you what, hard press for much else in the future, unless there's some tweaks to it or just a right out repeal. So that's where I'm at in this one.
All right. Any questions, Patrick, for us?
We have to have an order approving settlement is what it would be. Then.
Yep.
Right. And we have a proposal. I don't know if anybody's looked at that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
Can work from
what I have.
And get a draft up.
Okay. I've taken a look at it too, Patrick, and obviously with the proceeding since it was submitted, it needs some adds to it.
Sure.
Well, Mitch, you'll want to work on it on the final draft for our review, I guess. Do we need a work session to do that, you guys, or do you feel like it's...
At this point, I think let's just look at it and vote on it.
I
think so, too.
I think we're far enough along. And being that it is a...
Settlement.
Agreement. It's a settlement that's being approved as opposed to...
You know, and I guess the
regular findings and conclusions.
You know, from the commission's perspective, I mean, you know, if it's approving the settlement agreement, we obviously can't change the terms of that. But the commission does have, you know, authority to have other requirements in its order and such. You know, as I guess some of them were discussed at the.
Well, I thought they did a good job. If you guys did of tweaking it out and getting answering the questions, it's just back to that fundamental philosophy question.
Well, and the settlement, you know, does provide more than.
Indeed.
You would get in just a straight
yep.
approval. So.
Sure does. We always have to.
So the next question is, if they can get that put together in a couple days, do we have a special meeting to vote on this, or do we wait out?
I think
no.
We'll put it on the regular next
regular
time.
Meeting. Yeah. Okay.
If we can get on the next one, great. If not, that's probably just fine, too. We'll get it within the one after that, I would guess.
Well, we've got 9 days before our next one, so
yeah.
That should be enough time. That's kind of not
well happening. and you know, I don't think there's there any reason we have to. I mean,
we'll certainly try for it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I guess the changes to the proposed order that I saw, and you know, obviously Patrick and I will have to discuss exact language, but I don't think it's necessarily onerous. But I mean, the procedures obviously been updated and such.
All right. Super. All right. Okay. Any other questions? If not, we'll close the work session. Thanks.